Thank you for checking out this week's podcast at Destiny Church. For more information or other messages, you can check us out online at ourdestinychurch.com.
Today, as we kind of go into our message, let's say our declaration. We say this every week. Let's just say it like we mean it, okay? Because we do. God designed me to be fruitful, and I choose to partner with His original plan for my life. Amen. So today, if we're coming into alignment, and we're coming into, being fruitful, then God is most likely going to share some things with us that are maybe things that need to be brought back into alignment. Really, every week that you come into the house of God, or any time you are listening to somebody bring the word of the Lord, you really should be looking at it from a standpoint of, God, what do I have to learn today? Where do you want me to grow? Because that's the purpose of the word. If we ever get into that place, and believe me, I've been there. This is not something I'm saying to you, like I have never been there. But I've kind of been at the place where it's like, oh yeah, I know that biblical account of Noah, or I know that biblical account of Abraham, or Jesus, you know, doing the loaves and fish thing. I know that. And so my brain would start turning off a little bit. But I'm telling you what, it never matters what's being taught, because you're there. Holy Spirit has something He wants you to take away from the teaching. So God, what can I, because I'm up here actually teaching, Lord, what can I, Rive Stewart, learn from you today? Lord, many times we are learning as we go. And Father, you said that you who began a good work in us, you'll bring it to completion, Father. So I'm looking forward to growing a step closer in completion in my faith today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this series that we're doing, I'm going to mention a couple of scriptures from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a few verses. I'm going to actually ask you to turn to a few places in scripture. But you can either write those down, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we'll get there in just a little bit. So today I want to kind of continue this series that we've been on called Grace Relations. I'm going to share the message that I intended to share last week, but Holy Spirit kind of took us a different direction. By the way, let me just pause real quick to say it's so good to see some of you guys. As I look around, I haven't got a chance to say hey to some of you guys, but as I look around now that I can see you guys, I see a number of you who you've been away for a while, and I'm so glad that you are here today. It is exciting to begin. It's kind of like, you know, when your kid is away at college and they come home for a break or whatever. It's like, oh gosh, I'm so glad to see you guys. Now, this is where the analogy breaks down, because after they've been here for a while, you want them to go back to college. But I don't want you to go anywhere. So the illustration breaks down about halfway through. So today, as we're in this series called Grace Relations, it's really a series about grace. It's a series about God's grace. And it's kind of a play on words like race relations. Right now, there's a lot of racial stuff going on in our country. There's a lot of hyper attention given to different things, whether it be riots or the COVID-19 thing. And so we're just in this place of hypersensitivity in our nation right now. And I don't know if we've failed as leaders in teaching the word well, but the leaders always have to be the ones that take the brunt, you know, the buck stops here kind of thing. And so I want to apologize if I have not taught well in certain areas as a pastor. But as I look around, I see the church, and I've even done this myself. I've failed at times in living out a life of love and reacting instead of responding. And right now is not the time to react. Right now is not the time to react. Right now is the time for us to operate in a Spirit-led life. Let the Spirit lead us in how we are really kind of navigating this season that we're in. Do we have a lot to be concerned about? We do have a lot to be concerned about. We really do. I tell you, I have been called things, not necessarily to my face, but a few times I've been called this different things to my face. And they didn't say it in some mean, spitting and pointing in my face. They actually just said it very calmly. But I have been told, even very recently, that I am a racist. I'm like, if I'm a racist, guys, I don't know what a racist is. And that could actually be true. But I promise you, I do not think I'm a racist. I told one of the people that said that to me, I said, you know, I have spent so many times in foreign countries. Most of those are all people of different races than me. As a matter of fact, all of them serving. Man, I tell you what, like, racism is a sin. It is a flat-out sin. I'll flat-out talk to you about racism because I come from one of the most racist states probably in the United States. I know what it's like to be raised with racist thoughts. I get all of that. I truly get all of that. I can speak from a platform of a white man. That's the only color I can speak from. I don't know what it's like to be black. I don't know what it's like to be brown. I don't know what it's like to be any of whatever other colors we like, you know, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. You know, I don't know what it's like to speak from that angle. All I know is I just know my experience as a white man. And I know that there are things that I don't understand about other cultures. I just don't. There are things about other cultures that they don't understand about the white culture. We all have a cultural part of us that we grow up. You don't believe it. You just go and you intermingle. And I'm telling you what, I've never looked down on any of the other groups of people that I've ever had the privilege of being a part of. But, you know, black people do church different than white people. That's just a fact. Chinese folk, Asian people, they do church different than any of us. We have, and that's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing. And you can respect it, and you can honor it, and we can merge it. And I'm telling you what, I am proud of our church, that we are a church that is a multi-ethnic church. We don't have every race in our church, but we have a multiplicity of races that are a part of our church. And so because of that, a church should really exemplify what the body looks like. So, you know, we can't have all white sound in music, if there's such a thing as white sound in music. We can't have all black sounding music or all X, Y, or Z sound. You know, it's got to be what the United States has been said over, you know, many, many years. It's got to be a blend, a melting pot. It's got to be a representation. And we've got to honor and we've got to find value in the culture that we see. But what'll happen is, if we're not careful, guys, we're going to let this season that we're in get us off focus and divided. And there is such a danger in being divided. There is a danger in that, because the very first time that I ever heard about division in a spiritual sense was from the lips of Jesus when he said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Why? Because we're focusing on all different kinds of things. This morning, my good brother Greg shared with me, Greg Coleman shared with me. He said, you know what, Pastor Rife, what kind of what's happening in our nation right now is like out of that scene out of The Wizard of Oz. And you remember where Dorothy goes into to see Oz, And I don't know about you, when I was a little kid, the Oz scared me. I would be watching that, and you know, I'm just a little guy watching this, and she goes in, and you know, adults are, you know, more advanced in our thinking, and you probably already had it figured out that the wizard was really make-believe. But man, in my little old six-year-old brain, the Oz, man, he was real. And it was such a boom revelation when Toto goes over there and pulls the curtain back and reveals it's just a man. And he's back there pulling the strings and, you know, blowing the fire and everything and saying, pay no attention to that man behind the screen, you know. And that's what the devil is doing right now in our nation. He's getting us focused on riots. He's getting us focused on the election. He's getting us focused on this, that, and the other, COVID-19. And I'm telling you what, guys, even though we should be concerned about some of those things, that is not where our hope lies. That is not where our fear should lie. While the enemy is wanting us to look over here at this and look over here at this, brothers and sisters, the enemy, he cares a lot more about destruction than burning somebody's business down. That's a terrible thing. But the enemy is playing these games and getting us focused on riots and sickness and everything, while behind the scenes, the enemy is setting up. And I know people don't like to hear this, and I know they think it's conspiratorial. I don't even see how those people even believe in the Word of God. But listen, the enemy, while all of this is going on, he is setting up the end times. He is setting up the end times, and he truly believes that he is going to dominate and he is going to rule forever. That's what insanity does. That's what egomaniacal is. It's you're so deceived that all of the evidence is right there in front of you and you still believe error. That's what the enemy is. He's so egomaniacal. He knows this word. He knows what is prophesied. He knows that God is a man and that he does not lie. He knows, but even though he knows this, he truly believes that he is going to win this thing. He truly believes that because he is the great deceiver, but he's also deceived himself. Don't let us get deceived. Don't let us get off focus right now. Don't let us miss what the enemy is doing. It goes back to Daniel. Daniel, when he was praying, and the archangel had been released with the answer to prayer, demonic fallen angels intercepted, and there was this war in the heavenlies, and he prayed for those 21 days. It was stopped up on the earth. That was symptomatic. But what was really happening, the action was happening in the heavenlies. Listen, you and I, we know the scripture. The scripture says that we don't fight against flesh and blood. Fights are not, you know, our warfare is not between Democratic and Republican and Libertarian and whatever else is out there. That is not where our warfare is. Go to the polls and vote in November. If it turns out the way that you want it to, or you voted, good for you or good for me. But if somebody that I didn't vote for does not get in office, can I tell you that God is still in control? My faith and my hope is not in the person that resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. My hope and my faith is not in Governor Ivey, the governor of Alabama, or what they're doing over in California. Should I be concerned about that? Yes, but that's not where our warfare is. Our warfare is on our knees, whether metaphorically or literally, and we should be interceding for our children. Because listen, I'm going to tell you, I used to believe that, you know, the second coming of the Lord, well, that's not for my lifetime. You know, it's been a long time, and I think it's probably going to be a long time, but I'm telling you what, over the last year and a half or so, that perception in my mind, that gap closed quite a bit. And I'm not sure if he's going to come in my lifetime, but I am certain that he is going to be coming in some of the very close generations after us. He might come in Josiah or Judson's lifetime or Anona's lifetime, or maybe their babies, but that is not a long time from now. Listen, what we have to begin to do is understand that the enemy, he is setting up for his arrival. If the Antichrist is not already on the earth right now, he is not far from it. And there's already a spirit of Antichrist that is in the earth. I'm telling you what, I'm meeting with a couple of leaders this next week to begin to work out this study on Revelation that we're going to be doing. And I want to make sure that when we're teaching the book of Revelation, that we are doing it right, and we're not teaching it through some religious mindset that, you know, that every time I've ever heard a person teach on Revelation, the bejesus was scared out of me. I couldn't sleep at night because I was so scared. Listen, that is not the purpose of Revelation. Hear me again. That is not the purpose of Revelation. It's not to warn us about necessarily about the mark in our hand or on our forehead. Yes, that's a part of it, but that's the part that we focus on. I remember when Shay and I were little kids, and we were, little kids, 16, 17 or whatever, they would get the old reel-to-reel, and they would show it in church, and it was that movie called Like a Thief in the Night, and it showed people disappearing and, being gone in the rapture, and I'm telling you what, there was no hope in that for me. I never heard anybody mentioning any hope. Everything I heard was doom and gloom, and if you're not ready, you're going to get left behind, and if you get left behind, there's going to be terrible things that happen, and I won't say some of those because there are some young folks in the room, and I don't want the same thing that happened to me happen to them, but I'm telling you what, buddy, I went to sleep at night. This is where I was. I went to sleep at night, and because of the fear that was preached from the pulpit, I laid awake at night because I felt like I'm a 16-year-old kid, and I was saved. I came down, and I repented at the altar, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But I laid awake in bed at night because of the fear that was put into me from the pulpit, and I could not go to sleep because I felt like I was not good enough to go to heaven. I felt like I wasn't saved even though I was saved. I would get up in the middle of the night and I would sneak into my mom and dad's bedroom because I'm like, if they're still in the bed, then I'm probably okay. I ain't going to my sister's room because I'm like, I know she ain't gonna make it. Yeah. No, I love my sister. That was just for her in case she's watching. But I did. I would sneak into my parents' room because I was so afraid. I remember one time. Now, this is a big thing in Greenville, Mississippi, where I was raised. There's this place called Shipley's Donuts. And if you never had Shipley's Donuts, I promise you, I think that's probably what manna was made out of in the Old Testament. There's just nothing like them. And if you can get them hot, they just put Krispy Kreme to shame. They are awesome. The reason I tell you that is one morning, because we do this even now when we go visit, we always get up and somebody goes and gets Shipley's. And so the best thing is for you to get straight out of bed and get some hot Shipley's donuts. Normally, it's me getting them and Shay eating them. You know, hardly ever does she go get the donuts. But my parents, they got up and they went to get Shipley's donuts, and they were going to have them ready for me when I got back, when they got back home. Man, I woke up. Now, this is in the days we didn't have cell phones. I couldn't be texting mom and daddy and see where they were. Man, they were gone. It scared me to death. Oh, it's funny now. But it wasn't funny then. I was crying. I was repenting. I was, you know, asking the Lord to forgive me everything I could. You know, God, oh, Lord, they're going to chop my head off. They're going to do all these kind of things. I'm going to, take the mark of the beast, all this stuff. And then my parents walked in with those Shipley's donuts. And they're like, what is wrong with you? I did not have the guts to tell them what was going on. Listen, all those are true. But what we have to remember, we've got to begin to teach end times again. What happened is they scared the bejesus out of us, and I don't mean that to offend anybody, but they scared us so much that what happened is that generation that was so scared, we just don't really want to touch that because we don't want to do the same thing and traumatize others like we were traumatized. But what did I tell you about the pendulum? When it swings that far, it never just swings and stops balanced. It always swings too far. And we've got to come and bring this thing back to the center. And that's what I want to do. I want to bring it back to the center, and I don't want to swing past it. I just want to bring it back right here and begin teaching Revelation, because it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the revelation is all about. And if you're teaching Revelation and if there is no hope, let me say a couple of other things and I'll go into the scriptures today. Someone asked me recently about the video that was going around with Pastor Dana from, I believe it was Cornerstone Church, that he sent out. He had three dreams. And so I had several people, several of you sent it to me and asked me what my thoughts were. And so I didn't watch it right away. Typically, I don't do stuff like that because I just have to prioritize my stuff that I read and watch and all of that jazz. And so I watched it. And man, people are so quick to just jump on and jump to conclusions. And I made a little video that I posted about it. And somebody very shortly after said, man, in the Old Testament, they would be stoning that guy. And I'm like, hang on a second now. I didn't say this guy was a false prophet. As a matter of fact, he says in his video, he's not even a prophet. But he had a prophetic dream. And so I just watched it. And my summary of that is when I finished watching it, it made me very fearful, okay? It made me very fearful. And as I watched it, I'm like, the immediate thought in my head as he finished it off was, where's the hope in that? Where's the hope in that? Because 1 Corinthians 14:3, as it talks to us about the gifts of the Spirit, and it talks to us about prophecy and all of this. It says that one who prophesies encourages or edifies or builds up. So this is the way I always look at prophecy. Okay, give me the bad news and give me the good news. Do you want the bad news first or the good news? You know? And I had different people say, well, not every prophecy in the Bible had good news. And I'm like, I don't know. I would have to go back and look at all of those. There are some that are overtly positive. There are some that are overtly, ooh, that's not good. You know, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Now, that's a good one. I want to hear those. But then there are those that are like, Jonah, I preached on him a few weeks ago, and his was, you bunch of evil folks, God is going to kill y'all if you do not repent. Where was the hope in that? If you repent, he's not going to kill you. You know, he's not going to wipe this place clean. Even in the book of Joseph, like, there is hope when God said there's going to be a famine. But the hope on that was on the front end. Hey, there's going to be 7 really good years. So get ready, put stuff back so that when the tough time comes, you'll be prepared. I'm telling you, if you will go back and if you will look, I believe you will find some ray of hope somewhere in every prophetic. It will be either explicit or implicit. It will be explained well in the prophecy, or it will be implied in the prophecy if you go back to it. And so why am I using this? Because what will happen is if we're not careful and we react and we do not respond, we will react and we'll draw conclusions and fear will set in. You got to be careful what you watch. I want to make clear on this pastor's video, I believe he says some things that are very direct, accurate, plausible. I feel like, man, we should pray towards that, be aware of that. I don't think the man's a false prophet at all. I just don't know where the hope was in that. And he says he's not a prophet. He says it very clearly, he's not a prophet. And I respect the man's integrity, because he said, if these things don't come to pass, December 1st, 2020, you'll know I missed it. You know, that says a lot for a man's character. What I am saying is maybe he just didn't realize that this word that he was delivering, the fear that it would instill in people or cause to branch out, and he maybe focused on that and just left off. Oh, by the way, we're all going to be okay. If he had just put a little piece there, and I'm not condemning him by any means. As a matter of fact, if I didn't do that, I would want someone to tell me. So why am I sharing this with you? Because here's what I want you to understand, that spiritual fruit governs the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. I want to spend just a little bit of time talking with you right here. Spiritual fruit govern the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we know what spiritual fruit are, and there's not multiple spiritual fruit, or it would be spiritual fruits. Like an orange is a fruit, but an orange is not a banana. And a banana is not grapes. Those are fruits. If you set those out on your counter, you would have 3 kinds of fruits on your counter. But the scripture never refers to, in Galatians 5:22 and 23, it never refers to the fruit of the Spirit as being fruits of the Spirit. There's just one fruit. And we are, the fruit of the Spirit tastes like love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. That's what it tastes like. We don't have a fruit that's just joy. Or we don't have a fruit that's just peace. We have a fruit that's love, joy, peace, patience. And we operate in all of the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, if there's one that we can't operate fully in, then we're not bearing fruit, healthy fruit. It's like we don't get, it's not optional. It's not like a class where you know, Shay and I, when we were in some of those classes, it was like, you know, you don't even really get credit for it. You know, it's not a pass or fail thing. It's like you either did it or you didn't. No, it's not that. Like every single one of these is required for you to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. You do not get to operate and just be joyful all the time, but you are so impatient with people. You don't know. That's not how that works. You don't get to be like, oh, I'm so faithful. I'm so faithful, but my attitude stinks because I don't have kindness and goodness in me. No, you don't get to do that. We operate. When we're spirit-filled, spirit-led, we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Every single one of those should be operating. And I get it. We're people. We're natural beings. We don't operate, as the old guys used to say, on all four cylinders at the same time. Sometimes in those areas, it might be that, man, we're going through this time that we don't have a problem with faithfulness, but man, our joy and peace just lacks. No, God wants you to operate in your gifting with joy and peace. So all of them operate together. And here's the thing. When I was growing up, you might have experienced this differently than I did. But when I was growing up, the gifts of the Spirit in the tradition, the Pentecostal tradition that Shay and I grew up in, the gifts of the Spirit were emphasized more than the fruit of the Spirit. And can I suggest to you, can I just outright declare to you this morning, that's backwards. Get your fruit right first, and then work on the gifts of the Spirit. But in our tradition, gifts of the Spirit, operating in the prophetic, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, working, faith, supernatural faith, miracles, all of that was emphasized in our movement that we were raised in. But then you had some of the people who had the poorest integrity that were operating in those gifts. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, no, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul would be looking at you saying, this should not be. So I want to suggest to you this morning that it's the spiritual fruit that we get in order first, because the spiritual fruit governs the spiritual gifts. And what is happening right now, I'm telling you, what is happening in our nation right now, I have failed in this myself at times, not just recently, but throughout my life. And when that happens, we have to be able to give one another grace. Why? Because we're all growing. And if we're willing to grow, if we're not willing to grow, it's a different story. But if we are willing to grow, we have got to give each other grace. But what I see right now happening is people are operating in gifts, but they're operating outside of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, last week, I'll give you an example. I came in and the computers in the back they had a big old message on it that said, hey, you need to do this, update your system, yada, yada, yada. So what do I do? The guy that probably knows the least about that stuff back there. What do I do? Let's just upgrade the system. Well, they come in the next morning, which was last Sunday. They came in the next morning and they're like, did you do anything? Do you know if anybody did anything with the computers and stuff? Because nothing's working. The lighting doesn't, nothing is working. And I'm like, Shay probably touched it. I don't know who touched that stuff. But I just had to take one for the team, man. I'm like, dude, I am so sorry. I messed it up. I did it. So what was happening, I was operating outside of my area of expertise. I was operating outside of the guidelines. I was operating something that I really shouldn't have been operating in, and I caused a mess. That's what happens when you begin and I begin to operate in the gifts of the Spirit outside of the fruit of the Spirit, and they begin to be misused. How many times have you heard somebody give a prophetic word and it's like, is this a prophetic word or this is just something you wanted to say and blame it on God? Because that just seemed mean to me. You know, there were times where when Shay and I were growing up, and I thank God for the fact that we were raised in a Spirit-filled Pentecostal tradition, but I'm just telling you, there were times that it's like, it just seemed like God came to church in a bad mood, and he just got his big belt and was ready to take it off and whoop everybody's hinies. I'm telling you, man. And I'm like, and so I thought prophecy was just whipping the mess out of folks. You bunch of vipers. You stiff-necked people, I'm about to come down there and open up, blah, you know, la, la, la. That's what I thought prophecy was. And can I tell you that God is a God that will flat out, straight up tell you and expose things. But he never does it to shame. Never does it to shame. I have seen men stand on this stage. Well, not this one, because I wouldn't let that mess happen here. I have seen men stand on stages and say, "Brother, I want you to know the Lord just told me that you're having an affair on your wife." Well, did he also tell you that, like, that was a stupid thing to say? Because if he revealed that to you, that's something you need to be having a conversation with. I need to get off of one couple. But you see what I'm saying? It's like God will never embarrass you like that. He's not a God of shame. All of those things. And when you look at prophecy, you have to look at it through the lens of, is this coming through the Father's heart of love? Is this coming through the Father's heart of love? And I guess those people, they were just doing what they thought that they were supposed to be doing. Now, that very well could have been the fact. However, God also, if he gives, listen, the gifts of the Spirit are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of discernment, you know, spirit of discernment, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, spirit of discernment. And then, you know, the other gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, supernatural miracles, faith, all these other. But listen, when he gives you a word of knowledge, the gifts work together so that he gives us a spirit of wisdom, word of wisdom, gift of discernment, that we know when to share that, in what context to share it, and what setting to share it. I have violated this before myself, not because I was trying to, but God would give me a word and I would share it. And it didn't have the effect. You've heard me say that before. It didn't have the effect that I thought God's word would have. And the Lord said, "Well, I never told you to tell anybody. I gave you that word for you to pray on and to seek my face on, and you said it out of season." What does the word say? A word in due season, a word in due time. There's a fullness of time that comes where God, he'll give us a prophetic word, but we have to know where is the place and the setting that we're supposed to release that word. And I just had to learn through trial and error, because I didn't have anybody as a spiritual father teaching me these things. And I realized through my relationship with Holy Spirit, man, prophecy, gifts of the Spirit, those things have to be governed by something. And it's the fruit of the Spirit that governs them. Let me go over a couple of scriptures with you real quick. So right here, as I set this up, the word grace, we're talking about grace relationships. We're in grace, a grace relationship with each other. That means I give you grace, you give me grace. Grace in the Greek is charis. We get our word charismata, charismatic from. And it's the power which affords love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What are those? The fruit of the Spirit. Grace is the power that affords that to you. So it's not something that you aren't born normally good. You aren't born normally kind. You aren't born normally all these things. It's the power that God gives to you. He imparts it to you. He gives it to you. So grace is that power. And I want you to look at this. It's the spiritual condition of one who is governed by a divine power. So grace is the power to love, be joyful, but all of that comes and it creates a condition in my and your life, because we are governed not by ourselves, not by our emotions, not by somebody's Facebook post that ticked us off, not by whoever the president is or what the edict that the governor of California has laid out for churches there. We are not governed by that. We are not governed by our fear. We are governed by a holy God who has given us the divine power to have God in us when he baptizes us. If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, he baptizes us with Holy Spirit fire to be these things to the world. And where I have said that we are missing this, friends, is we are missing it because right now the church does not look very much like love. Right now the church doesn't look like joy. Right now the church doesn't look like they're at peace. We should be somebody that when they look at us and when everything is being seen, hear me guys, God wants somebody here, really all of us, but there are certain people that I believe God wants you to hear this more than anything for this season in your life, because right now our influence is what is important. And our influence is not the hashtag that we're going to be putting on our social media or the t-shirts that we're going to wear or anything else. We are supposed to walk around and let the Holy Spirit exude out of us, and we don't have to announce ourselves as we come into the room, because when he walks into the room, everything changes. And can I tell you that when he walks into the room is when you walk into the room, whatever room. We're singing that, but we're singing about some kind of mystical Jesus walked into the room. Listen, I don't know if you thought about it this morning, but when you walked into this room today, you were Jesus walking into the room. We're singing the song like he's going to come in at any moment. He came in you and you and you and you and you and me. When we walk into the room, he walks into the room. Why? Because we are God carriers. He is inside of us. The power and all authority that he has, he has given it to us. And so grace is that spiritual condition that we have got to be operating in right now. Grace is what those guys had when they were in the three Hebrew young men, these young leaders. They weren't kids. These three Hebrew young men, and you know them, Nebuchadnezzar had made a law. California made a law. Nebuchadnezzar, bring that into viewpoint for you. Nebuchadnezzar made a law. You guys, y'all have to stop worshiping that God, and you have to bow down to the statue of me. And they said to him, listen, king, we can't violate our faith. I'm telling you, if you don't do that, I'm going to throw y'all in there. And not only am I going to throw you in there, we're going to crank that baby up 7 times hotter. King. Listen, oh my God, if we could just stay here another hour and a half, I could preach that message right there to you. They didn't say, why, you old creepy jerk, you unsanctified, unholy, you know, demon devil leader, you do what you want to, but we try it. Just try it. Our God will save us. No, friends. You know what they did? They said, oh, king, oh, sovereign king, like, oh, honorable king. They showed respect the whole time, knowing that they were not going to bow down, and that edict that he decreed, they were not going to abide by it. Nevertheless, they gave him the respect that he deserves. Listen, I don't care if you didn't vote for President Trump. I don't care if you're going to vote for, if you voted for him last time, you ain't going to vote for him this time. That's the president of the United States, and he deserves, whether he's a turd or whatever, he deserves the respect that the office has. That's how we should honor him. Because how we honor him, that God's going to use us. I'm telling you the truth, guys. How do I know that's true? Because I'm explaining it to you from Scripture. They didn't look at him and go, we didn't vote for you, and we ain't going to vote for you again. We don't like the way you're leading the country, and we don't like the way you're doing this. What happened in there? People are operating outside of the fruit of the Spirit. They're operating outside of the fruit of the Spirit. Everything they may be saying may be absolutely true, but they're operating outside of the fruit of the Spirit. We need to get into a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego anointing that says, listen, we respect you and we honor you, but this is not what God has called us to do. Do what you need to do. Go ahead and issue every decree that you want, but our consciences will not let us violate our God. Go ahead and turn it up, because even if you do, even if you throw us, our God will be with us. And I'm telling you what, right now in riots, in economic collapse, listen, the scripture says that when they came out of there, there's a few things that happen. First of all, the king meant to see some results. He goes over and peeks in and he says, how many of y'all put up in there, boys? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in there. Who's that other one in there? It looks like the Son of God. Hey, how in the world did he recognize a God whom he didn't even believe in? I'm telling you what, when the time is ready to come, there is a God in heaven whom you and I serve that will make himself known whether people know him or not. He will make himself known, and he will be indistinctly God in the way that he wants to be. And he's looking in there and he says, you know, bring them out, because evidently that didn't do any good. When those guys came out, it says that not one hair was singed on their clothing, and there was no smell of smoke about them. What needs to happen in the church nowadays? We need to get into the fruit of the Spirit and develop that and how we respond to what's happening in our world, so that when that economy collapses, I'm like, not me. I don't participate. I'm not participating in that. I'm not going to smell like economic collapse. Because if they didn't smell like smoke, I'm not going to smell like economic calamity. I'm not going to smell like hatred. I'm not going to smell like X, Y, or Z. You fill in the blank. When we operate in the fruit of the Spirit, there are going to have to be some times where we just have to shut our mouth like Daniel in the lion's den. We just have to shut our mouth, let the government do what they're going to do. I'm going to get before God. I'm going to pray, because that's where the war is really happening. That's where the war is really happening. Let me clear this up. All right. Wrap it up. All right. Look at this. 2 Corinthians says this. Paul, don't start reading it yet. Paul, he's telling about the many trials that he's been through. And if you listen to it, I'm like, if you're really reading this, it's like, Paul, you really kind of sound like you're bragging there. Paul knew that he had a little bit of braggadociousness in him. And he says, even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, why? Because he knew that that was one of his things where the enemy, you know, would fight him on. He says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. He says, on three different occasions, I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, my charis, my grace is all you need. My relationship with you is all you need, because when you're in relationship with me, I'm going to surround you by the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. My grace is all you need. My power, that power that affords you love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. My power works best in weakness. Now that sounds absolutely moronic. I don't mean to be there you go. I don't mean to be disrespectful to the Word of God. I'm telling you what the flesh says. No! My power works best in my power. No, God's totally different. He's like, listen, you need to settle down, little boy. You need to settle down, woman. Calm yourself. Calm yourself. Remember, self-control. Calm yourself. My grace is all you need. In other words, my grace is sufficient, is how the King James Version. It's sufficient for you. So now he says, I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Listen, what's he's describing stuff right there that I don't want anything to do with. But Paul says, yeah, my insults. I've been insulted lately. I didn't enjoy that. But he's saying he took pleasure in it. It's just like, dude, just chill out. I'm just like, Lord, help me to just realize the power within me to control myself and calm myself down. Look at what Paul says in Romans. In his charis, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. So we refer to, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but we refer to the gifts of the Spirit as the grace gifts. Like, it's not your ability and your acumen in certain areas. Those are abilities that the Lord gave you. But supernatural gifts come when his anointing comes upon you. And so it's by grace, it's mercy, it's his favor that he gives us those gifts. I don't just get to go, well, I'm just going to operate in wisdom right now. And I don't really give a rip about God. I'm going to operate in wisdom. No, because the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, and in it leads to death. So, like, man's wisdom can actually be stupidity. But when we operate under the fruit of the Spirit, humility and love, and, you know, then I can operate in wisdom. He says, in his grace, God has given us the different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving, serve others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. God has given God has given you leadership ability, take this responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. These are just a few of the gifts of the Spirit that he's talking about. He's saying, if God has given you these gifts, then operate those gifts under grace. If you were to jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses, I believe, 1 through 3, it's where Paul is saying, listen, he's setting up to talk about love. And he says, listen, if you can prophesy, but you do it outside of the guidance of love, the gift of the fruit of love, if you can prophesy, but you're doing it, you might as well be a clanging cymbal. Bang, 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 bang. Annoying as all get out in God's ears. If you can teach, but you don't do it in love. If you can preach, but don't do it in love. If you can serve and don't do it in love. So what am I saying to you? This is what I'm saying to you. Is that the gifts of the Spirit that are governed by the fruit of the Spirit. Spiritual fruit governs the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. So today, as we leave, I want to ask you this question. Have you been allowing your spiritual gifts to be governed by the spiritual fruit? Have you been allowing yourself to operate what we would call in the flesh? I don't know if that's an accurate way to depict it or not. But outside of the parameters that God is calling us to operate in. Listen, right now, the church needs to be a place of love. I know in your flesh, in your inner man, that one that Paul says, I'm constantly at war with. I know what the right thing to do is, but I'm constantly wanting to fight that. I know you want to post that thing that, you know, I know you want to have that debate with your worker. I know you want to have with your fellow co-workers. I know we want to do these things, but I'm just asking you to do this. Do like Paul. He says, listen, right now, I'm going to operate in grace. Can I tell you that God's grace is sufficient for us? We don't have to be worried about an election coming in November. We don't have to be worried about the riots that will or won't take place. God will take care of us. The hope that I'm delivering you today is that His grace is sufficient for you. I promise you it is. I don't care. People are going to think what they want to think. I have people that think I'm over here and I'm too soft. And I have people over here that think that, you know, that I'm just, you're always just arguing with people, you know, from the pulpit. I have people that put labels on me all the time. Listen, I don't care about all that. People are going to think what they think. But if you operate in the Spirit, if you operate in the Spirit, you will know a heart that operates in the same Spirit as you. All I can do is leave us with this hope that Jesus said, where was it? Was it John 16:33? Let me make sure. Yeah. We spent a whole year talking about this, guys, that we're overcomers. Because Jesus overcame. John 16:33 says it like this. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have riots. You will have division. You will have tribulation. But fear not, for I have overcome the world. I'm telling you what. I don't know what future riots are going to break out, guys, but He's overcome the world. I don't know who's going to win the election in November, but He's overcome the world, whoever's in the White House. I don't know how long coronavirus is going to last, but He's overcome the world. I don't know, Amy, because you're wearing a mask and I'm not. I don't know which one is right or whatever, but like Paul talks to us and he says there's going to be some things that, you know, this personal thing, some person, this thing, it's not a salvation issue. So y'all work that out on your own. That's what Paul says about that. But can I tell you, whether I wear a mask or whether I don't, God is in control. He's got this. He's overcome it. Whether people want you to, are okay with you still laying hands on them for the sick to recover, or they just want you to pray with them over the phone, can I tell you that God is still in control and He's still an overcomer? So come on, church. Let's stop operating in fear. Let's stop preaching fear, and let's start being the light of the world. Can I tell you this? And I promise you I'll let you go right here. The scripture says that people will see our Facebook posts and know that we are His disciples. Does anybody know what the answer to that is? People will see our, say it loud, love for one another and know that we're His disciples. Now, some of y'all are paranoid because y'all thinking I'm stalking y'all's Facebook post. I'm not. I don't have time for that. The people that I haven't had time, like the people that are, woo, they just driving me crazy, Lord. I just unfollow those people because I can't handle all that drama. I just can't handle it. Just don't want it. He is in control. It's going to be okay. Preacher, don't you know anything about Revelation and what's about to come? I don't care. He is in control. And He is our hope, and we are His hope. We are the hope in the earth. The scripture says that they will see our good deeds, not our posts. They will see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. It's time for us to really begin to act like love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. So would you stand with me? I'm going to pray over you. I thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. And God, I pray over my church family. These people out here are my friends, and they're my family. And I pray over my church family that, God, we would be a people of love. I pray that Destiny Church becomes a prototype, like a model that God uses. And Paul, he went through all those tribulations and things, but he came to the point of saying, you know what? Now I understand why I went through all of that stuff. Now it was for his glory. And now through all of that, I will be an exemplary model for his glory, for him. I pray over you. This is the blessing that I pray over you. That God, we would become so bright. That we would become so bright. That our influence, our territory, our spiritual map, so to speak, that God has given you and me, that it would increase exponentially during this season. And as the church operated and expanded like wildfire during that first century church, because it was being persecuted, that we would look and say, God, we thank you. We don't understand what's going on fully in our nation, but we thank you that in this time, it is an opportunity for me to burn brighter. And God, if there's anything in me, God, that I need to change to align myself with the fruit of the Spirit, God, would you burn it out by the fire of your Holy Spirit? I'm praying this for Rife Stewart, God. Would you burn it out, God, so that we are you. And when we walk into the room, everything changes. You get it? Because when we walk into the room, he walks into the room. Holy Spirit, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the worship that our psalmist brought us today. Father God, I bless everyone in this house, Father, with peace, a supernatural peace to come over them like has never before. May it be like a thick, thick, thick weighted blanket on you. And your house. May you feel the tangible peace in your house. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I hear Holy Spirit saying something real quick. Listen. Holy Spirit says that some of you have stopped dreaming because your focus has left your destiny and what I've called you to do and why I've put you on the earth, and you are focusing on the things, the distractions that the enemy has set up for such a time as this. I'm calling you back, says the Lord. I'm calling you back to your purpose, to your destiny in the earth. Seek me, and I will speak to you in ways that you have not heard me in years, says the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. I receive that for me, and I receive that for this house. So look, we're about to leave. I hope you have an incredible, incredible day. I hope you walk out of this place, and I hope that you feel encouraged. And hear me before you leave. If Rife came out in any way, and I'm sure it did because, well, I'm the one saying it for the Lord. But if Rife came out in any way that hampered you hearing and receiving the word, will you give me grace on that? And would you cast that part aside and just take and receive all the love and peace and joy? Because righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God.